now tuned into anything potable. The most honorable, the most audible. Hold the applause, like Paul Pierce when he was fresh out the hospital. Like Antoine when he shimmied after shots.
Welcome to the Boston Celtics podcast here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm your host, Sam Jam Packard, professional sports fan. I'm joined, as always, by the kid, the god, the legend himself, Celtics beat reporter from The Athletic, and we are coming to you live from the TD Garden after the Celtics win at the buzzer. Jason Tatum spinning layup in just a wild, wild basketball game that they had no right to win. They take down the Nets. Kyrie Irving's flipping off the fans. He scores 39 points. He's unstoppable. Just an unbelievable final minute. The Celtics come down from being down three with 49 seconds left. Unbelievable defensive stand against Kyrie Irving. Ime Udoka doesn't call a timeout. Jaylen Brown makes an extra pass. Marcus Smart gives up the game-tying shot to make finds Jason Tatum cutting to the basket. This place was absolutely pandemonium. Jay King, I was just dumbstruck. Just wild, wild game. What was your reaction?
Yeah, that was insane. I mean, how long did it take for everyone to leave the arena? It was just people. Nobody wanted to leave. Everyone was standing up. Everyone was loud as hell for like 15 minutes. Nobody left until every Celtics player had walked off the court. And even after the game, like, you could hear people chanting from outside. You could hear, like, it was just insanity. And that last play, considering the stakes, which was going down 1-0 to a Nets team with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, that clearly showed how formidable it is. The number of smart decisions the Celtics made in that play was just really impressive. First, Jaylen, you know, draws help and kicks out and gives up what would have been a pretty decent shot to try to win the game. He kicks it out to Marcus Smart, who I thought, like, had to shoot it because there were just, like, 3.5 seconds left when he caught the ball.
He caught the ball with 3.5 seconds left, which is wild.
Yeah, and he puts the ball on the deck instead. And Kevin Durant, like, just kind of loses track of Jason Tatum for a little bit, probably because Kevin Durant, like everyone else, thought Marcus Smart was going to shoot the ball. All of a sudden, Tatum is cutting to the hoop. He initially thought he was crashing the glass for an offensive rebound because he thought Smart would shoot it, but Smart found Tatum, and he still had to do like a little pirouette around Kyrie Irving to finish it. Honestly, like, it sounds a little dramatic because this is the first game of the series. It's the first game of the playoffs. But that could have saved the Celtics season. Like it's that important not to go down 1-0 to Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. And maybe I'm being dramatic. Maybe, you know, the Celtics could have come back from that. They certainly have a good enough team that's within the realm of possibility, but you are much, much happier if you're the Celtics about going up 1-0 and keeping home court and having a chance Wednesday night to preferably win in a little less dramatic fashion.
They stole this basketball game. They, in the fourth quarter, they did not play well. I thought they did an excellent job of slowing down Kevin Durant all game. I thought they did an excellent job just putting a body on him. Jason Tatum did an excellent job on defense. Al Horford, Grant Williams, I thought they did an amazing job slowing down Kevin Durant. And their offense was really clicking, especially in the third quarter there. But then when it got to the fourth quarter, they missed layup after layup. They missed countless shots at the rim or in the paint in this game. And frankly, to give up that kind of lead, they had an 11-point lead heading into the fourth quarter. They just did not look good at all down the stretch, and they stole this basketball game, and I think it's huge for them because they will, like, just to get this victory. You never want to give up home court advantage, certainly in a playoff series like this. But I think there's so much more that the Celtics can improve upon heading into game two. So it's like the best of both worlds. Like there's a lot of film Ime is going to show them on certainly things they can improve upon on the offensive end, on the defensive end, how they play against Kyrie Irving. But to steal the victory late, like the late game execution is what we like kind of thought this team's Achilles heel might be. And they figured out a way to win late. They really like from when they're basically bickering at each other when they gave up that Kyrie three late, where it's just a miscommunication between Jason Tatum and Marcus Smart. Basically, that put them down five, and they made basically all the right plays in the final minute and a half to get but and steal this game. And you're right. Like, you'd never want to go be this bad in a position against the Brooklyn Nets. So I was just, I think there's a lot the Celtics can improve upon, but it's just like, it's very gutty for them to be able to win this game. And maybe like just relying on championship habits or having trust in each other, whatever like the cliche basketball gods type thing answer is. It's like that's what they relied on tonight, and it was damn impressive.
Yeah, and I thought like before that, like you said, in the fourth quarter, they just weren't crisp. The one of their biggest like trouble areas, weirdly, was the non-Durant minutes. They lost those in both halves. And Tatum, because of how well or how poorly the Celtics played when Durant was on the bench, had to play 45 minutes because I imagine they were hoping to be able to keep like a 10-point lead and then sneak a couple minutes for Tatum and bring him back for the stretch run. Instead, Kyrie went bonkers. He hit a couple threes in a row, brought the Nets right back within like one or two points before Durant even came back, and that like that could have been an enormous stretch, and they have to be much sharper in those minutes, especially on Kyrie. There's no excuse to let him go off and let him step into comfortable looks when Durant is sitting on the bench, like. Got to do more to take the ball out of his hands. Got to do more to make him uncomfortable, especially in those moments when he doesn't have Durant next to him. And then I just thought from that moment, like the Celtics pressed a little bit in the fourth quarter. Like Marcus Smart had the one play where he's in transition and Kevin Durant is back and he attacks him, you know, and missed a layup. And Derek White had a possession where they run a switch to get Jason Tatum. I think it was Seth Curry. It might have been Kyrie Irving, but one of the smaller Nets guys on him. And White goes at Durant instead. Like, no, no, no. Like, that's not why you execute that play. You execute it to get it to Tatum, give him the ball, let him do his thing. I thought Jaylen Brown really made a lot of plays for the Celtics when they were flailing. And he made some transition plays. He hit the three when Derek White had an extra pass, and I'm not sure whether Derek White just wanted no part of the shot or actually just thought it would be a better idea to find Jaylen at the other side of the arc. But Jaylen didn't start off great, but during that fourth quarter when the Celtics were potentially drowning, he really, really saved them. And I thought the buckets he gave them when they had nothing else going for them were just enormous, and we'll get lost in the hoopla of the final minute in Al Horford's double on Kyrie Irving, which was fantastic, and the defense on Durant to force a miss, and obviously the final crazy sequence of passing that led to Tatum's finish at the buzzer, but Jaylen Brown before all that, really, really gave the Celtics a chance.
Yeah, all the while he was just completely bloody from his nose after getting fouled on Kyrie.
That was
Irving.
No foul. He did not get fouled.
I was saying where he should have been called. Kyrie should have been called for a foul, but it would have been his fifth. You're right. There was no call there. That was really the story of the first quarter. I guess first half of the game was this. Both teams came out and played very physically, and the refs came out and let their presence be known. I think 18 fouls in the first half. Let's try to take a step back here from the wild finish and what did we learn from this game one from the Celtics? Because my initial takeaway before, I guess, that fourth quarter was just I was super impressed with the job that the Celtics were doing on Kevin Durant. And then maybe they're putting so much attention on KD that they kind of were lackadaisical against Kyrie, because Kyrie, I think, went off for something like 19 points in the fourth quarter. But that was my biggest kind of like, oh, wow, I didn't know the Celtics could be this good at slowing KD down. And he missed a few shots I'd expect him to make. But I thought they just did a phenomenal job of like always putting a body on him and making his life extremely difficult.
Yeah, and I thought, like you said, like they did a great job on Durant. He was minus 13, and the Celtics won by one. Like that should not happen. But Kyrie Irving did a great job when Durant was on the bench. I think, you know, you look at beyond the Kyrie stuff, like the Celtics didn't do a good job of taking away everybody else either. Like Claxton had a bunch of points around the rim. Dragic had just his third double-digit game since joining the Nets.
That's classic Goran. He's just been a thorn in the Celtics side since like 2012.
Yeah, and so like I thought outside of Durant, who was 9 for 24, the Celtics didn't do a good job on anybody else. Basically, the Nets shot 54%, and after a first quarter where I thought the Celtics should have built a big lead in that first quarter. Like, they forced 7 turnovers. Their defense was really being disruptive. Durant was having a really tough time. And the Celtics just weren't finishing possessions the right way. And instead of, you know, building a nice lead, they had all their front court getting foul trouble. Horford had 2, Tice had 2, and Grant Williams had 2 before the end of the first quarter. And I thought that was a stretch where they really failed to kind of not put the Nets away, because it was the first quarter, but give themselves a little room. And I thought that set the tone for a first half that the Celtics were tied after. Third quarter, they were great. Like Marcus Smart hit a bunch of threes. He had the one play where Kyrie was inbounding the ball and just nobody went back to get the ball, and Smart stole his pass and went in for a dunk. But other than that third quarter, like there was never a moment when the Celtics were like comfortably beating the Nets. And so they'll need to be a lot crisper moving forward, the Celtics.
Yeah, and I think the another takeaway of mine was just how good Al Horford was in this game. 20 points, 15
points.
Yeah,
he was great.
But the Celtics' size stood out to me. I don't know how many. They got 14 offensive rebounds. I don't know how many second-chance points that led to, but it really felt like the Nets had an interesting kind of like substitution strategy. Seth Curry basically did nothing in this game. We did see a lot of Goran Dragic, some Patty Mills, but I don't think the Celtics necessarily, despite having that many offensive rebounds, did enough to punish the Nets and just using their size. Like they got stops in like that third quarter on the defensive end and kind of turned it in transition. And that was some of the best ways they did it. But I think there's more they can do just to be more tactile, more strategic on the offensive end and get just better looks in that fourth quarter. And if it's just simple things like getting Jason Tatum, you know, getting him the ball when he has Seth Curry on him or things like that, I think there's ways the Celtics can improve. I'm looking at the minutes right now and I'm shocked to see like Marcus Smart only at 36 minutes. I feel like his defense was pretty damn good, and Kyrie made some threes over him, but that fourth quarter run that the Kyrie went on, but I came in with Peyton Pritchard getting into the game, and I feel like you got to play, I guess, Marcus Smart more minutes, and I would expect him to play more minutes down the stretch. I don't know. I just thought the Celtics could have been a lot crisper and smoother on the offensive end. And I think part of that is just like trying to take advantage where you can, because it felt like when people like Dragic, when Kyrie or Seth Curry were in the game, it wasn't like the Celtics were necessarily attacking them. A lot of their offense came from Jason Tatum, making just great passes in the first quarter. I think he had 7 assists in the first half. And then Jason Tatum attacking guys like Nick Claxton off the dribble. I didn't think the Celtics half-court offense was particularly crisp, and I think they can do more just to kind of take advantage of just their size advantage. Take advantage of their size advantage. That's a turn of phrase.
Yeah, I thought offensive rebounds was really the only way they did that, or the only way they did it consistently. Like, they didn't do enough to get Dragic in the actions. They didn't do enough to get Patty Mills on the actions. And honestly, like, it's tough to watch it while it's a game's going on and see exactly what the Nets were doing to keep those guys away. So I'm not sure, like, if it was something where Brooklyn was just really smart about keeping those guys out of the actions. But you definitely have to punish the Nets when they play Dragic, punish them when they play Mills, punish them, you know, for starting Seth Curry next to Kyrie Irving. So I do think you're right. At the same time, like, the Celtics offense had, for the most part, like, a pretty decent day. I thought they pressed a little bit. I thought, even though the last sequence, like, they were really smart, they made the extra pass, they did all the right things, I didn't think they always got to that level. And maybe it's, you know, game one of the playoffs, you're playing against Durant and Kyrie. Kyrie's putting on a show. He's flipping people off. Everyone's excited.
Multiple people. Yeah. Flipping people off left and right.
Everyone's excited, and you just naturally press a little bit. But they weren't as good about making the right reads as they have been throughout the last 3 months. And I think they can make things easier on themselves if they do that. I was surprised to see Peyton Pritchard only played 8 minutes, but I understand it, because, like, if size is going to be one of your biggest advantages in this series, and it should be, then you might want to steer away from the guy who is the smallest guy in your rotation. But I think that he can give their offense something. And then the other part of that is they had him guard Kyrie for a little while, and Kyrie hit a three over him. So I think, like, especially when Durant's out, like, there's no excuse for having Peyton Pritchard in that matchup. Like, just have him guard someone else. You can't have him guarding Kyrie, because Kyrie is too skilled in ISO to let the Celtics off the hook. And it was only like a possession or two. Like, it wasn't a lot, but still, like, those are moments where the game could have shifted, and the game did shift, and they just have to be sharper in those moments. I thought it was a weird game from the standpoint of what I expected was that when Durant was on the court, the Nets would be fantastic, and then when he was off the court, the Celtics would really, really win those minutes. It went totally the other way. I thought it was huge for Brooklyn when Drummond picked up his fourth foul in the first half, because I just think Claxton was a better option. And Drummond, like, he wasn't doing much on the glass. He wasn't really helping them too much.
No, and he allowed Al Horford to kind of pop out and get some threes that he got going in the first half. And I think that was actually an advantage there for the Nets. And so it's going to be fascinating to see what the both teams take from this game and take into game two on Wednesday. A long, drawn-out series. We'll be back early in the week to talk a little bit more about this game one, because there's certainly more to break down, but we wanted to give you our quick reactions to game one. Celtics win 115-114. Jay King, he's a professional sports writer, and so he needs to go write about this basketball game. Thank you guys here for joining us on the Athletic app, and thank you for everyone listening to the podcast. Please subscribe, rate us 5 stars, and do everything about that. Jay is a Jason Tatum buzzer beater. Is that possibly potable?
Yeah, I think that one is, Packard. I believe that one is.
Anything is potable!